1 through 6. 1 through 6 this morning. When you have it, I'd ask if you would please stand as we show our honor and respect for the reading of God's holy word. It says, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there. And the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack to go possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? Give out from among you 3 men of each tribe, and I will send them. And they shall rise and go through the land and describe it accordingly to the inheritance of them. And they shall come again to me. And they shall divide it into the 7 parts. Judah shall abide in their coast on the south, and the house of Joseph shall abide in the coasts of the north. Ye shall therefore describe the land into 7 parts and bring the description hither to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. This is the word of God. Lord, we do give you thanks and praise for your holy word this morning. And we ask that you would speak through your servant. Lord, I pray that you would give us ears ready to hear and hearts ready to receive. And Lord, that you would be glorified. Father, if there be one here that is not saved, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. Lord, for those who already are your children, I pray that you would continue to draw them closer to you. Lord, I know you are, but Lord, may they be willing in the process. We ask all of this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. I don't believe I have much for you this morning, but what I do have for you, I believe, is very important. I know that this week's reading in our Joshua and Judges series, the readings for this week weren't necessarily that exciting. A lot of division and dividing up of the lands and the inheritance. We see that the promised land continued to get dwelled in. We saw that tribes continued to go in and take possession. And they continued to do what Joshua told them to do, to live into the blessing that God had for them. We get to chapter 18, though, in our chapters for this week, and we see that Joshua, in verse 1, establishes the temple, establishes the what is called as Shiloh for worship, and calls everybody together, all of the tribes, all of the people of Israel together for worship. And out of that context, I want to focus on verses 2 and 3 this morning. Because as everybody is together for worship and everybody has gotten there, we see in verses 2 and 3 that 7 of the 12 tribes still had not received their inheritance. 7 of the 12 had not received their inheritance. Now, you look at that, I don't know about you, you look at that and you say, okay, well, no big deal. You know, at first glance, verse 2, you're like, yeah, okay, no problem. Maybe it just wasn't their turn, right? Maybe there's a waiting list. Maybe there's a process that they're going through, right? And maybe, you know, there were people in front of them, and so they had not, 7 of the tribes just hadn't received their inheritance yet, right? It seems like a pretty innocent statement until you get to verse 3, and it shows that that's not the case. It shows that Joshua, he says, how long, talking to the 7 tribes, how long are ye slack to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? How long are you slack? In other words, Joshua's calling them to task. This is something that should have been done. And he uses the word slack here in Scripture. Can I tell you what slack means when you look? It means to be faint. It means to be feeble. It means to be forsaking. It means to be idle. It means to leave and to let alone. How long are ye slack? It means to be still and not to move. It means to be slothful. It means to be weak. It means to be lazy. And Joshua stands before these seven tribes in the midst of everybody that has gathered, and he says, Lord, look, God has land for you. He's reserved it for you. You are blessed to have it. Why have you five not taken it? Why have you not moved on it? Why are you content with just sitting back and not doing anything? Why are you satisfied with where you are in the promised land and not where you should be in the promised land? Why are you willingly living outside of the will of God that He has for you? That's what He's telling them. Folks, it's not necessarily a pretty sight. He's saying, you're not willing to press forward. In other words, he's telling them, he said, you are waiting for something to happen for the land to come to you rather than you moving forward in faith to go and take the land that's already been given. Folks, Joshua called them out. And yes, I got to use the word because I like using it. Joshua called out these seven tribes and told them, when it comes to the will of God for your life and the blessings that God has for you, y'all are a bunch of slackers. Good old term from back in the day, right? Y'all are a bunch of slackers. I mean, they've been given an inheritance, but they're not claiming their inheritance. Could you imagine that? You get a phone call and says, a long-lost relative of yours has passed away. We have all of the stuff for you, and all you have to do is show up, and you will inherit land and money. All of that good stuff, a substantial amount of land, a substantial amount of money, and all you have to do is come and possess it. And can you imagine in this day and age, you saying, thank you, I'm glad that you have informed me of this, and you put the phone down, and you don't do a thing to collect it. It wouldn't happen, would it? Most of us, before we put the phone down, would be beating down the door of the lawyer, right? I'm here to collect. I'm here to collect. And you know what? I know what's even worse? If you go and continue on reading, you know what it says? It says, and now, because these seven tribes have slacked off in claiming or going and possessing what God has already given them, it says that the enemies, which have started to be driven out, have actually started to come back into the land and resettle. They've started to encroach back in. And folks, we may look at this passage and we may look at this description as to what's going on, and we may think this is absolutely crazy. What is wrong with these seven tribes that they would not move? God's got this land for them. He has reserved this land for them. He's blessed them with this land. All they have to do is go and take it. They're crazy. Can I tell you this morning, as we gather this morning, I'm going to ask the same question. I'm going to ask the same question. And listen to me. It's not just for y'all. Don't think I'm picking on you. I'm talking to y'all. I'm talking to everybody tuning in on Sunday morning. I'm talking to the church in general. I'm even talking to myself today. Because, folks, we are going to look at the same question with the same people, the people of God, right? In an assembly. In a congregation that are in the same predicament. Can I say to you this morning, how long are ye going to be slack in possessing the land which the Lord your Father has given you? In other words, how long are you going to slack and stand still and not take what God has already given you that you are turning your back and shunning towards? Like I said, I don't plan on speaking too much today. I want to drive home a very important point because I don't really have many points for you this morning. I got two distinct people of who I'm talking to this morning, two distinct groups of people that need to hear this. The first, I'm talking to the person who is not saved here today. I'm talking to the person who is not a child of God here today. I want to tell you this morning that the Lord your God, the Lord our God, it's not yours if you ain't saved. The Lord, our God, it says in Scripture, has driven out the enemy through the shedding of Jesus' precious blood. Did you know that? He has driven out the enemy through the shedding of Jesus' precious blood. He sent his son to die on a cross for you. He paid for your sins. He secured the victory over death and hell, which was what was waiting for you. He has done all of that. He has secured everlasting life and is waiting for you. He's already drawn up the papers and paid the bills for you to go from being a child of the devil to a child of the King. The adoption is ready. Can I ask you this morning, if you're not saved, why are ye slack? Amen. It's all laid out. Maybe you got too many questions. Pastor, there's so many things about Jesus I'm just too not sure about. Maybe there's quandaries going on in your life. Maybe there's things where you're thinking, maybe I'm not good enough. Or maybe I got to get my act together first, Pastor, before I can accept and live into what God has already secured and wants me to go to. Can I tell you this morning, you don't need any of that. Can I tell you this morning and remind you, by grace are ye saved, through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. And can I tell you, you have been given the opportunity, whether it be this morning, or whether you've heard the gospel before, or whether you've heard it 3 months ago, or 10 years ago, God continues to knock at the door of your heart and giving you plenty of opportunity. Why are ye slack? Don't mess with eternity. Don't mess with hell. Don't mess with being separated from God. Don't put it off. You know what I love about our God? Our God is a today God. Amen. He says in the Scriptures, today is the day of salvation. Amen? Tomorrow may be too late. He is a God that wants you to move, wants you to cry out, wants you to get saved today. Why are you slack? Why are you slack? Tomorrow may be too late. And before you as Christians and children of God get a little too loud on the amening on that part of the passage, let me go to the other part of the passage and the other group of people I'm talking to, which is to the Christian this morning. Oh, yeah. I hope you're hooting and hollering with hallelujahs and amens as much as you were just a little bit ago when I start talking on this passage. To the Christian, to the child of God this morning. You may say, Pastor, hey, I'm saved. Pastor, I took the inheritance. I took it. I heard that God sent his son and I needed to be saved. Yeah, yes, praise the Lord this morning that you have received your inheritance. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord that by grace through faith you are saved in Jesus Christ this morning. You've recognized your need. Amen. You realize you could not be saved on your own. You recognize Jesus came and paid the debt. He conquered death and he conquered hell. He rose from the dead and one day he's returning. Oh, glorious day. And you said, I'm putting my faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sins. He is my Lord and he is my Savior. We should just have a praise break right there for that. Praise the Lord. That day happened in your life. You can date it. You can name it. You can celebrate it. Praise God. Praise God you got it. That you've been washed in the blood. That you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. That you have that, oh, blessed assurance that Jesus is yours. Amen. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Amen. You've got, are you with me this morning? You guys just holding back a little because you know the punch is coming, right? Come on. That's stuff to be excited about, folks. You may be saved, but maybe that's as far as you've gone. You got that blessed assurance, but that's about it. Some people even like to call that the fire insurance, right? I won't get burned. I'll go into heaven smelling like smoke with my pant leg singed, but I'll be there. You see, there's so many of us today who have received the gift of salvation. We've received our inheritance, but we have not possessed the land. Come on. We've received, like the children of Israel, but we have not possessed. You see, the seven tribes, had been given their inheritance. They had it. It was theirs. They just hadn't gone into it. They just hadn't possessed it. So let me ask you again, not just to the unsaved, but to the saved today. How long are you slack? How long are you going to wait? How much are you going to be idle in your life? How much are you going to remain a spiritual baby and not grow? How long are you going to be slothful, weak, and lazy when it comes to your spiritual life? How long are you slack? Listen to me, salvation is very important, right? We preach the gospel so that people may be saved out of this world through Jesus Christ. But salvation is not the only thing that Jesus has for you in this life. He doesn't save you to put you on a shelf. Jesus has so much more. It's that next word, right? It's the one that sounds a little more churchy. It's not just salvation, but praise God, when you come to the altar and he saves you. At some churches, they'll just be like, okay, you're fine on your own. No, we got you saved and we don't have to do anything more for you. No, at Grace Church, we believe in not just salvation. Yeah, we want to save, but we also believe in sanctification, growing in your faith to be more like Christ until he takes you home. You know what that is? That's transformation. You know what that is? That's you just not receiving the inheritance, but going and possessing the land that God has for you. That's why Jesus said in John 10:10, the enemy has come to steal and to kill and destroy, but I have come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. Did you catch what? I've come to give you life. Amen. Salvation. And life more abundantly. When does your eternal life begin? When you're saved. When you're saved. Most of us think that our eternal life and our abundant life begins when we die in Christ and we go to heaven. No, your abundant and eternal life begins when the day you are saved and the Holy Spirit comes and dwells and lives inside of you. You may not be in the presence of God, but praise God, the presence of God is in you. It starts right then and there. He's come not just to restore your life, but he's come to give you abundant life, ladies and gentlemen. It's for now. It's not for later. And listen to me. I'm not talking about, again, I felt this is 2 weeks in a row. I've had to put a disclaimer out on my mat. I'm not talking name it and claim it, right? I'm not telling you that God's got all of this wonderful stuff for you in terms of physical things. And that you're going to go and God's going to give you land and God's going to give you a house and God's just going to give you money and you just got to claim. That's not what we're talking about. That's a false gospel. Even the ones that try to tell you God's going to give you good health, that's a false gospel. You want to know how I know it? Exhibit A, the Apostle Paul. No one did more for Christ and no one was more faithful for Christ than the Apostle Paul. He did not have fame. He did not have money. He did not have a home. And by God, he did not have health. But Jesus does have stuff for you as he draws you closer to him. He's got sanctifying work that you got to live into. Praise God for the Holy Spirit that comes into your heart and seals you until the day of redemption, but he just doesn't want to come into your heart. He wants to come into your hands. He wants to come into your mind. In fact, Paul said something like that in Romans, didn't he? He said about the transforming of your mind, right? He wants to change the way you think. He wants to change the way you see. He wants to change the way you walk, to change the way you talk, change the way you relate to everybody. Oh, by the way, that's called the fruit of the Spirit. He wants to give you love, abundant love in your life. He wants to give you abundant joy in your life. He wants you to experience abundant peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. He wants you to have all that fruit in your life. Can I ask you this morning, if you are a Christian and you have not experienced those things abundantly in your life, or are not experiencing those things abundantly in your life, how long are you slack? Because guess what? You have it. It's in your possession. You just haven't accessed it. You just haven't accessed it. You know what else the Holy Spirit has for you, or what Jesus has for you, Christian, that we slack on? Fellowship. Accountability. Hey, accountability in the fellowship and community of God is a good thing.
Amen.
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 Amen. At least we got the pastor and his wife over here amening. That's good. That's good. I hear one over here too. A little quiet, but I hear it. Okay. But folks, he's got community. You guys remember, he called everyone together and called out the seven tribes. Did you catch that? He didn't have a separate meeting with the seven tribes. He called them all together and then called out the seven tribes. Accountability, community, love, fellowship. He's got growth for you. He's got family for you. How many of you guys can have a testimony this morning? I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but could have a testimony this morning as to how God has blessed you in your walk here at Grace Church by finding a spiritual family. Yes. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ that will do those things that we just talked about. You know what also he has for you in your Christian life that you don't possess and you don't go into the land and receive if you just sit back and inherit? He's got a testimony for you. Oh, pastor, I got saved. That's my testimony. Your testimony consists of not just your salvation, but how God has continued to move and work in your life to the things that he reveals to you, the things that you will overcome, and to the fellowship that you have to tell everybody else about it. Your whole life is a testimony unto the Lord. But you don't get any of that if you don't do anything. If you just sit back. He's got victory over sin. He's got spiritual revelation through his word. He's got a purpose. He's got a passion. He's got direction in your life. Oh, here's the good one. He's got stuff for you to move on from.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the tribes? They're sitting there. They have an inheritance. They've received it, but they haven't possessed it. Joshua's telling them, you got stuff. I know you're content here. I know you say you're good here. I know you're good mooching off of everybody else while they're in their lands. But I've got stuff for you to move on from because there's something better for you to receive. Did you hear that, church? Did you hear that? Because, you know, there's so much, a lot of times, unforgiveness in our lives. There's a lot of healing that needs to take place. There's reconciliation that's got to happen. Can I tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he saved you, said, through the grace that you have received, through the forgiveness that you have received, through the mercy that you have experienced, I don't want you to just stand still in those things for yourself. I want you to move forward. I want you to go into the land and give the forgiveness and give the mercy and give the grace and get the healing. I want you to go forward. You won't have that if you stand still. It's all yours, church. These things are available to you. You received them when you were saved. You got the Holy Spirit, but listen to me, how long are you slack? Because I know there's many of us that we've gotten saved, but we haven't possessed any of it. Any of the things. And you may be saying, well, pastor, why is that? And well, probably the same reasons as the seven tribes. The seven tribes were content where they were. I'm good. You know, pastor's guilty of it a lot of times too. You know, you go into a meeting with somebody, especially when you go into a meeting with a colleague, or I go into a meeting with my boss, and how are you doing spiritually? I'm good. No, you're not. You know how many times someone asks me that actually cares? I have breakfast with Pastor Peter every other week, and he'll ask me that often. How are you doing? I'm good. You know how often I'm lying? Just so you know. Press me. Challenge me a little bit more.
I did last week.
You did. Pastor Peter tanned my hide the other week. There's a picture for you. Remember, he's 40 years older than I am. 30 years older than I am, so. But listen, we're content where we are. Things may not be ideal, but we're content where we are. Why? Because we know in order to move forward into what God has for us, it's going to take some work.
Yes, it is.
It's going to make us uncomfortable.
That's right. It's going to take
It's not going to be ideal with what we would have for our lives. Things are going to look different. We're going to have to go into uncharted territory. And some of you may be saying, Pastor Jeff, wait a second. I thought that we are supposed to be content in all circumstances. Isn't that in Scripture? We are to be content in all circumstances. Yes, you are to be content with the earthly things that you have, but you are never to be content when it comes to your spiritual life. You are always trying to be pressing on. You are always trying to be getting closer. You are always trying to experience more of the glory of God and learning the humility that comes with it in the presence of Christ. You're supposed to continue to be pressing on. But we won't go because it's too much work. I'm good right here. I'm good right here. You know what I loved this week? There was a comment at the very beginning of the week of the reading saying, you know, I'm going to sit this week out because, you know, these scriptures, I'm not really getting anything out of them. You know, it's a lot of dividing. It's a lot of stuff that, you know, I'll sit back and I'll let everybody else comment. You know what the scripture says when it comes to the Bible and you're studying of the Bible, that you are a workman. Did you know that? Which means if you're ever going to get anything other than surface level stuff out of the Bible, you have to work at the Bible. You have to dig at the Bible. Well, Pastor Jeff, I don't understand this. Or Pastor Jeff, I don't understand this. Guess what? Grab yourself a commentary. There's plenty of them out there. If you don't have one, I've got about 50 in my office. I'll give you a good one. Hey, Pastor, I got a commentary. I need a commentary. Pastor Jeff, you know what would be better? If there was a map that laid all of this out. Guess what? If you Googled, ask the great Google God, he'll provide you with a map of what's going on so you can have a better idea of what's going on. Instead of us just standing back and saying, I'm not going to get anything, I don't see anything, I'm going to mooch off of everybody else. Listen to me, every time you go to that scripture, God has something for you.
Yes, he does.
But sometimes you got to work for it. He ain't going to spoon feed you every time. Sometimes you got to go and sit at the table that he has prepared rather than him bringing a spoon to your mouth. Come on, folks. Come on. Some of it's spiritual laziness and procrastination. That's what it was for the seven tribes. They were lazy. You want to know why? Because they knew that if they went into those lands, what was involved in going in, even the land was subdued. They couldn't just go in and set up. There were people again to drive out. There were things that had to be marked. There were things that had to be measured. There was work to do in order to possess it. And you know what they said? You know what? I'm good here. We made the promised land. I don't need my specific promised land. I'm good right here. They weren't willing to do the work. You know, we see that a lot in the church, you know, in the same way. You know, if God wants me to have it, he'll make a way to have it. I don't have to do anything. He'll just make a way. I can just sit back. You know what that is oftentimes? It's spiritual laziness. It's spiritual laziness. God may show you something, and he may deliver on something, and he may make a way for you in something, which, by the way, he did for the seven tribes, by the way. He had already given them the land. The land was theirs. Do you think that if they would have gone in and they had to fight somebody, that God would have allowed them to be overtaken if the land was already theirs? They just didn't want to do the work. Folks, God's got work for you to do. You cannot sit back and just say, well, I'm going to let it all come to me. Right? There's no urgency in that matter. There's no urgency to do the work of the Lord. There's no urgency to pull closer to Christ. Right? You know, the best one is, well, you know, have you considered serving in this ministry? Consider doing this, or God calls you, well, let me pray about it. I love that. I heard a pastor a long time ago saying, Christians are good at using prayer as a poor excuse for procrastination. Amen. That is our spiritual delay of game tactic. Amen? Right? I'll pray about it. You know what's funny? Is that if God calls you to do something, he's not going to call you to do something outside of his word and outside of his will. Which means that when you say, I've got to seek the Lord, when he's already called to you to do it, guess what? It It makes no sense. Why do you have to seek the Lord for something he's already told you in his scriptures to do? It's just called disobedience, let's be honest. And procrastination, spiritual laziness. That's why they didn't go in there. They were told to go in. They were told what to do. Now I'm good. I don't want to be uncomfortable. I don't want to chart new lands. Not only that, but they liked living off of other people's blessings. They were living off of other people's blessings. Who said the uh-oh? Pastor Peter knows. He knows I'm getting ready to mess and step on toes here. Folks, I hope you have a faith in which Jesus Christ is doing things in your life, that the Holy Spirit is showing things in your life, that you have testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony about the Lord moving and working in your life. Because a lot of times what happens is we get saved, we stand still, we don't let the Holy Spirit do anything, we receive the inheritance, we don't go and possess the inheritance, and you know what? They're standing back there and they're living off of everybody else's hard work. And let's be honest, sometimes our Christian faith, we're living off of everybody else's testimonies. We're living off of everybody else's blessings. We're living off of everybody else's hard work. We're living off of everybody else's faithfulness. We can become spiritual moochers real quick. Question is, what are you bringing to the table for the good of the people of God? Instead of living off of everybody else. Instead of living off of everybody else. Folks, God has provided this church with everything we need to do what God has called us to do. And yet, there are many things that we continue to lack within the ministry that God has called Grace Church to do it effectively. I know where the gifts are, but we got people who stand back and I'm good right here. Got quiet. Or let's be honest, their spiritual priorities just weren't in order. Their spiritual priorities weren't just in order. They didn't make it a priority to go in and possess the land. Well, it's ours. Why do we got to go do the work? It's ours. We'll get to it eventually. When we have time. When it fits our schedule. When maybe I've got a prompting or God finally smacks me on the back of the head and gets my attention through something horrible. Their priorities weren't in place. In other words, listen to me, God's got something for you that is 10 times, no, not just 10, a million times better than what this world can ever offer you. But yet you prioritize the things of the world rather than the things of God. You look for fulfillment in the things of the world rather than the things of God. You look for joy in the things of the world rather than the things of God. You look for purpose in the things of the world rather than in the things of God. And you know what happens when you continue to put off what God has for you, the blessings that God has for you, the life that God has for you, the fulfillment and the purpose that God has for you? You know what will continue to happen? The enemy will start sneaking into your inheritance. And the enemy will start taking things piece by piece by piece. How long are you slack? How long are you slack? So the worship team gets ready to come up and lead us in a final song this morning. How long are you slack? You know what I love about this text? Other than the fact that I get to use the word slacker in a sermon. You know what I love about this text? We see the great leadership here of Joshua. Joshua calls the people together. He calls out the seven tribes. Why are you slacking? He calls them on the carpet in front of everybody. But listen to me. He doesn't then, though, turn around and cast them aside and say, guess what? You lose your inheritance. But rather, he said, all right, you're slacking. I see you're slacking. I'm calling you out on your slacking. Now let me help you. Let me give you direction. Let me show you what to do. He gave them a plan. Now remember, in the midst of all of this, Joshua is also a type of Christ. He foreshadows Jesus. And there's a lot of things about Joshua are the same as Christ. So listen to me. If you are here this morning and you are that first group I was talking to, you're not saved. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Listen to me. I got a very easy direction for you this morning. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's simple. You recognize you're a sinner. You cannot save yourself. You put your faith and trust in the finished work of Christ, dying on the cross, raising from the dead. It's that simple. Come on, how many of y'all can testify? Pastor, I received my inheritance. I've got the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I'm saved here this morning. How many of you can raise a hand? Raise a hand in testimony this morning. If you're saved, you've got the down deposit on your soul. The Holy Spirit has possessed you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's got you today. I've received my inheritance. Listen to me. If you're here this morning and you have not received what God has for you in Jesus Christ and the salvation, why are ye slack? Look around. If someone's got their hand raised, there's someone here that can help you. But if you're here this morning and you're saved, this one's for you. If you are part of that second group, I want you to remember this morning that Joshua called the nation of Israel together. He called the congregation together. And in accountability, out of love, he called these seven on the carpet in front of everybody else. It wasn't just seven people. It was seven tribes. That's a lot of people. Why are ye slack? What is important about that, Pastor Jeff? Here's what's important about it. If you're slacking this morning, I want you to also remember verses 4 through 6 that we read this morning, because he gave the direction. And you know what that direction is? I want you to pick three out from among you, and I'm going to give you help, and they're going to go into the land with you, and they're going to help you survey the land, measure the land, find the land, and bring it back to me as a report. In other words, if you are slacking, you've received, but you've not possessed. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you, in the midst of Grace Church, in the midst of the congregation, if you want to possess the inheritance that God has for you, but you don't have the spiritual get up and go, and you realize you have slacked on it, listen to me. There are people among you that will take you by the hand and lead you and guide you into all of what Christ has for you. That's what the community of faith is about. He said, I've got help. Folks, there are people in here. Raise your hand if you're one of those. I'm willing to be a spy again. I'm willing to help those who haven't moved off of their inheritance. I'm willing to help them go and possess the land. I'm willing to help them. I'm willing to take them by the hand and take them in to all that God has for them. I'm willing to pray for you. I'm willing to take you into ministries. I'm willing to be in a small group with you. I'm willing to read the Bible with you. I'm willing to be in community with you. He said, take three amongst you that have seen how God is good, that have experienced how God is good, that have been blessed by how God is good. Folks, that's why a church and faith community is so important. That's why you can't do your faith being absent from the community of faith. You can try. Praise God, you can still be saved and not be a part of a church, but you are never going to possess what God has for you if you are absent from the local church. And Lord, help us today. Statistics show that if you attend church twice a month, people consider that to be regular attendance. That is sad. We need our tribe. Amen? We need our children. We need our families. They will help you go out and scout the land. They'll help you possess it. They'll help you claim it. And listen to me, they'll help you fight for it. Come on now. Yep. Pastor ain't the only one that's good with spiritual battle sometimes. Pastor Peter's not the only one. Pastor Harrison. Come on. Guess what? When you go forward into what God has for you, as you start that process hand in hand, not meant to do it alone, but with help, and go forward in that process, listen to me. It says you're going to have to fight. They had to fight and move people back out. But praise God, you are not Old Testament, but you are New Testament. So you know what you got? You got the Holy Spirit, and you've got the armor of God. So that way, whatever the enemy may come against you, you may be prosperous, and you may continue to advance. You're armed. So now my question in the midst of all of it is, what are you waiting for? Now, the goal was I wasn't going to preach this long this morning because we've got two altar songs this morning because I want us to take some time. Because if you're going to sit here this morning and say, Pastor Jeff, I'm good, or Pastor Jeff, I've already lived into everything that God has for me, you're a liar. Somebody told me the other week, they heard someone say, I like Pastor Jeff because he tells it like it is. There you go. Oftentimes people like people who tell it like it is until they tell it how you are. Then you got a problem. But we all need help. Come on now. And that's why you're here. That's why you're a part of this congregation. That's why you're a part of this tribe. That's why you're a part of this local church. First and foremost, if you're not saved, find me this morning during this altar call. Let's get you saved. Everything's written up. Everything's ready to go. Let's go before the cross of Christ and put him as Lord and Savior of your life. But if you need help, if you need to possess, maybe God's called you to something. He's shown you something. He's told you time and time again, over here, I've got something for you. Move forward. And you have disobeyed time and time again for whatever reason. Altar's open. I need help this morning. I need help. Gather up some of the other people from the tribes and I need help. I need help entering into the land that God has for me. Will you bow your heads in prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. We praise you for your